Good evening. I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight as we begin our process reviewing the Old Acre Master Plan. Mayor Cavanaugh will be here in about an hour. He had another meeting to attend. We'll have a presentation from Mr. Holland when we get started, but at this time I'd like to turn it over to Mr. LaDuke.
Thank you. Tonight we are going to talk about the Old Acre Master Plan. A lot of hard work went into this plan, and James is going to go ahead and talk about some of that. I know probably the major concern that I've heard from more citizens than anything else is concerning the zoning and the recommendations that probably around 70% of the area that was studied would require some type of a zoning change or another, and how council wants to deal with that, and we'll talk about that hopefully as one of the first items after we get done. We'd like to go ahead, though, and start with Mr. Holland. He was the chairman. He is the planning commission member. Was selected, I was going to say volunteered, but I would say probably more selected from the Planning Commission to head this up. Did a terrific job in organizing and keeping the five subcommittees on track. And I thought it would be good for everybody to have just a briefing as to the process that went through to get us to where we are today. James could answer any questions that you may then have, and then we can move into the actual meat of the discussion tonight on the actual plan itself.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Good evening.
Members of the City Council and fellow citizens, I'm going to give you an overview of the Old Acre Master Plan. A little more than 2 years ago, as a member of the Planning Commission, I was designated to head up this Old Acre Master Plan Committee, Steering Committee. The committee itself was made up of 11 members. That's myself and 10 other members that were chosen. Some of them are here tonight. I said some of them I've looked at. I see Lee Poe is here. He was one of the 10. Are there any other members? Okay. Mr. Mike is here, and these other 10 members cheered up the five subcommittees. We had two members work with each subcommittee, and the subcommittees had a total of about 40 people. Most of the committees was made up of seven people, but there's one committee, I think it was the Southeast, which was an exceptional large committee because so many people wanted to be on that committee, so we agreed. So we had all of these subcommittees meeting throughout the fall and winter of 2003. They did put in a lot of hours. They did go out and try to get input from the citizens. Some of their meetings had quite a few citizens from the different districts. And many of the meetings were actually held in the districts, not here at City Hall, so to speak. So I think these people really went out. Some of them sent out questionnaires and took different types of surveys to come up with their input. They also had different, I guess, experts, realtors come in and talk to them. One group had public safety officers come in and talk to them. So I think they really worked hard, and they really tried to get a gut feel of what was best for their particular district. So finally, they came together, and they provided us with the information, and we are coming on down that pike. Before all of this took place, though, we had an open house last October, in fact, October of 2002, almost 2 years ago now, and there were more than 250 people present. I attended I was there for most of the hours, and it seems as if we had a big turnout. We had a lot of interest, and more than 100 people volunteered. Now, these volunteers were people that actually served on the subcommittees. And all of them were either residents or worked in the particular areas that they were working on. At the second open house in September 2003, a little more than a year ago, we only had about 150 people. As you see, they didn't turn out as well, and I guess maybe it's because they were so impressed with first one until they figured they didn't have to come back for the second one. Things were in good hand. But anyway, we didn't have as many people as we wanted, so a decision was made by Ed and his staff that it would be displayed for another week at the Art Center, put the entire display across the street. So it stayed there for a week. That would give people a chance to come in and see the displays and look at the survey forms who had not responded to the second open house. For the first open house, we sent out letters to all of the property owners that within the old city. And one-third of those letters were returned, and I think that's a very significant number when you look at a mass mailing like that. One-third of the property owners actually returned their letters. I think that speaks highly of the letter and also of the recipients. Normally, I understand you don't get a response anywhere near that number. Also, to help advertise this open house, there were articles in the city newsletter. That's the one that we get with our utility bills, at least the water and sewer. There were display ads in the Aiken Standard, and there were some 275 posters that were placed around town. I personally carried some of those to the north side myself, placed them in convenience stores, American Legion Post, and other places. For each open house, Channel 4, the city channel, on the local cable, aired the open house. It was also on the city's website. There were press releases. Joy 107 made announcements, and there were emails to city employees. Also, the Chamber of Commerce sent out emails to their members. The Chamber of Commerce and the Aiken Development Association has worked with us quite well. They provided input, and I think they worked well within the process. For the second open house, we continued to do the same thing. The Aiken Standard was involved, the public announcements, and the newsletters. The draft plan for the was on the and still is on the city website since June. And also last fall, there was an article in the Easy Street magazine, a full-page article about the Old Aiken Master Plan. One of the things that we developed was a vision statement. There were quite a few iterations of it, I guess. When you ask a person for a vision statement, each person has a different vision. But we worked on it, and we came up with one that I hope you will can see the vision in. And also, we came up with the goals and objectives. This is what we want to export to you. This is our work. And also, along with the goals and objectives, is a future land use map. If we are going to make these changes, the zoning has to be involved. And we have land use maps with the recommended zoning changes for you. So these are the three things that we're exporting to you. This is our vision statement, if you'll read it. So I think all of the people on our various committees and everyone that work feels very strongly that that vision statement does include encompass their vision of Aiken. Okay, these are the goals and objectives. The first one, the parkways, all of our committees, all subcommittees, all five of them had something to say about the parkways. As you know, Aiken is unique within its parkways, and everybody wanted to maintain them, enhance them. And you see they are reestablished. There are some parkways in Aiken that were laid out in the original grid that have not been developed in the area of Williamsburg, Beaufort, and Orangeburg streets. This is what they're talking about with the reestablishment. We also recommended the creation of some new parks. Aiken is high on single-family detached homes, even though much of our residential, especially on the north side, is open for multi-family dwellings. But you know that the predominant character of the houses within Aiken are detached single-family. We also looked at the possibility of creating new zones, a residential horse zone, and especially commercial zones along the main corridor of Richland Avenue East. We would like, and I think so does the downtown, and I think it's the normal progression of things as our downtown area expand, that it would expand toward Union Street, go in the Eastwood area. I think in Old Aiken, many, many years ago, there was much more commerce along that area than we have now. So I think if we expand our business area, that would be the normal and natural progression to go east along Park Avenue toward Union Street. When I was a kid, the so-called downtown area of Union Street and Park Avenue, Fairfield Street were very busy. Also, if you're going to build things, you like to think that they look appropriately, so some type of design restriction or something to make sure that designs conform to the residential character of Aiken would be necessary. Because if we don't have the requirements in there, people may tend to put up what they feel is adequate, but it's not really compatible with the present character. And the biggest thing is to get citizens involved. How do you do that? We look at this assembly here tonight, and we don't have that many people when you look at the population of Aiken. And I guess that's true with any organization, whether it's a city or it's a small civic group. You'll have a meeting and only a few will show, a very small percentage. So getting people involved is always a very serious problem, but it's one we have to try to overcome and encourage our citizens to become actively involved in their government. As I've said before, in Aiken, people are very concerned about their single-family detached residences. So we want to protect and enhance. We talked about lot sizes. We talked about maintenance of property. And this is very important to these people. Also, zoning. What's going to come next to me? What's going to be placed on that vacant lot? People are concerned about that, so they want to protect their residences and their neighborhoods. Area zone industrial should be used for other purposes except for Willow Run. There are some areas, if you look at your land use maps in Aiken, that have traditionally been industrial, and we've made recommendations to the contrary. The northwest group, you look at the one that says east and north side of Park Avenue should be limited commercial, but also the next one, medical clinics, technical school branches, and branch libraries. Those areas that are now zoned industrial, that group felt very strongly that these are the type of activities that should come to those areas. Some of them, even though they're zoned industrial now, they're either empty or in most cases, most of those areas, the old area where the warehousing is, and then there are some other vacant lots. Many of these businesses have moved on, died over time, and the areas are still zoned industrial. So we're looking at, and the Northeast group has recommended that we look at additional uses such as libraries, medical clinics, and schools. So that's basically what we have. We have a vision, we have recommendations, and we have a recommended land use map, which I think most of you have. We have pictures of it over here. We have a large representation. One is the way the city was in 2002, and the other is the recommended. This is only a recommendation. None of this has taken place yet. But this map on my far side shows what the recommended zoning would be like. So at this time, if you have any questions, I'll try to fend those off. I have Roger and Ed and his staff here to help me, so that's basically our presentation.
James, thank you very much. I'm sorry I missed your presentation, but I have studied it and tried to keep up with what was going on.
Thank you much, Mr. Mayor.
I had a prior commitment that I just couldn't get out of. Didn't want to get out of it because it was a commitment. Does council have any questions while James is standing?
I didn't understand the one about except for industrial parks should have other uses except for Willow Run.
Yes, if you look at their areas that are listed as industrial, and we're recommending other uses for them. Along Williamsburg Street, along Orangeburg Street, there's some areas there that are zoned as residential. And the situation along Williamsburg Street, I think there was a building supply place there. There's some old warehousing. All of those are now vacant. And we are recommending other uses that would be friendlier, or that the people within that area feel is what they need, such as a medical clinic, maybe a branch library, or a technical school.
And Willow Run, it's not currently industrial, is it? All of it?
Part of it's
part of it's GB.
Yeah, I think the current building...
Willow Run right now has got at least three different zones in it. And we'll be talking about that the next meeting.
Okay.
But there is an industrial part to it. But all of the other area going in that direction, we are recommending other uses rather than let it remain industrial or try to build up an industrial area within Old Aiken.
Are we going to go over this part by part? Or, so then we don't need to start into that now
right.
at this point, do we? Okay.
Right.
Thank you. Thanks.
The thought was that we'd just start on page one, item one, and start going down the list. And,
Mr. Mayor, I would like to go to the meat of it. I agree with Roger's statement on the, I think the whole crux of it is the rezoned property, single-family residential were appropriate. I think that's the whole crux of why we're here, and I just didn't get it. You know, we talk about so much going, so let's get to the meat of something and just say, for one, I mean, are we going to change people's zoning? And I, for one, am not in favor of that. And I just, if we're not in favor of that, let's speak it up front. And, you know, I think everybody worked hard on this. I don't object to that. I just have a problem with changing people's zoning. And if we want to try to get them to change it to conform to this, I think we need to be proactive. And if it works, let's be proactive, try to get them to change it. But don't force anybody to change their zoning, which they've had for years and years. So that's the main part. And the rest of it's worked hard on this. There's a lot of good things in here.
Absolutely.
But I think that's the crux of what we're going to discuss tonight. So why don't we just get to that and get it, figure out how everybody feels about it, and then start on number one. Go to 5-1 now.
That's fine with me if it's fine with council.
Sounds
we have
good.
To start somewhere, and it's
yeah,
just a matter of where you want to start. And that's fine.
I thought that's where we were.
We would get to it anyway, but
okay.
Let's start with it then.
I said what
you've said your piece.
Mr. Mayor, if I could make a few comments.
Certainly.
I met with staff knowing that most of you have indicated to staff or myself in some way or another that your major concern was with 5.1 and what we would like to do with this. There have been several examples on comprehensive plans that you have approved in the past where it shows that somewhere in the future there would be a proposed different type of zoning than what is currently there. The most recent one that I could think of was when you asked the Planning Commission to go back and review the Hampton Avenue corridor. because there was a lot of commercial that was there. They had recommended some commercial rezonings, and you said, what is that flavor of that community going to be like in the future? And they reviewed it and said, now that we reviewed it, we think it should be primarily residential. We didn't have anything to plan in writing to say, we as city council need to, within X period of time, change all that and rezone it to residential. We just said, as we look towards the future, we want to see that area become more and more residential. So we have talked about this. There's really a couple different ways that you could approach 5.1, which is the major crux on the rezoning issue. One way would be going ahead and just taking 5.1 and eliminating it altogether, so you wouldn't have a 5.1. The other way of doing it would be at the end of each of those statements, 5.1A, 5.1B, 5.1C, 5.1D, that you would only do those rezonings if the citizens wanted you to. In other words, if they came to you and said, we'd like to rezone our property. I would not favor that, and I'll give you a couple reasons why. And staff and I talked about that. One, you would then be making a statement, and it would be binding other councils in the future. You'd be saying you can't rezone it. Now, that doesn't mean the council in the future can't go ahead and amend the comprehensive plan, but you would be making a statement basically saying that unless a person came and wanted a property to be rezoned, you're not going to consider rezoning any of those properties. But more importantly, if you get a block that most of the northwest and northeast areas of the city are zoned multifamily, yet most of those areas are occupied by single-family homes, you may get a block that has all single-family homes currently in that area, and the residents want to see it rezoned, but because of an absentee owner, or maybe it's an heir property that has six or seven different parties that own the property, you can't get all their signatures, or maybe one or two of them don't want to rezone it, or maybe they live in New York and you just can't get them to sign that petition. If you have that clause in there which says you can't rezone those areas without everybody approving it, it would hamstring you and not allow you to move forward on something you may want to do. I then looked into the records as best as we could, and Ed reports that the only instance that we could find where property was rezoned in the past against the will of individuals was in 1992 when the western end of Hayne Avenue, Greenwood, Jasper, Lee, was rezoned, and nine of the property owners within that area were opposed to that rezoning. It was rezoned back to residential. At that time, I believe it was general business. Some of it was general business, and you rezoned it back to residential. That's the only time that we could find an instance where council rezoned property against the will of what people wanted. And we couldn't find anything else. We did find a lot of examples where individuals came in here. Some of the most recent ones we had was on Chesterfield Street. Individuals came, were living in a single-family home, and asked, could we have that as limited professional? And you decided not to rezone it. And those are done on a case-by-case basis. So if you wanted to look at it, probably the best way to eliminate the position that we're in right now, which we have a number of property owners that are opposed to the rezoning of their property, would be to eliminate 5.1. We couldn't find other areas that would be affected in the same way. You'd still keep your mapping that you have. You just would take this language out of it as we see in front of us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, Roger.
Yeah.
In that area that was rezoned with nine property owners,
yes,
not wanting it changed, they were grandfathered in, though, right?
I believe they were all rezoned directly. Were they not, or were they grandfathered in? Yeah, okay.
And I just wanted to clarify that grandfathering business.
Yeah.
As I understand it, if you have a business, say, and you wish to sell it, that you may sell it for a business again, it only becomes, as I understood it, is this still correct? The zoning only has to change if 50% of the building that exists on the property is removed.
50% of the value of the property is changed. If that business would discontinue for 1 year period of time.
The only provision that applies is the 1 year period. If you have a non-conforming use, it's grandfathered forever, as long as you don't abandon it for more than a year. And it can be sold and continued ownership doesn't work.
But if they want to expand it, Ed, and add 50% more value to it.
Well, there was in our neighborhood when there was an old home that had been divided into apartments, and someone wanted to tear that down, or tear most of that down, and then build 75 or 125 apartments. And that was not grandfathered.
That'd be because they destroyed more than 50% of the value of the property?
Right.
Isn't that right?
I need to know the specifics of the case. I don't recall.
Do you remember that?
I think if you lose more than 50% of the value of the property, then the property would be subject to being zoned to the new zoning.
That's what.
And you would lose your grandfather provision.
But if you don't tear down the building,
or it catches fire, it could catch fire, and that would. If it burned to the ground and you lost more than 50% of your value, that would have the same effect as voluntarily tearing it down.
Oh, really? Golly.
Over in that one area that you were mentioning, I don't recall any businesses that were there that were rezoned. They were all single-family homes at that time.
I see.
Okay. We're back to talking about 5.1. Anyone else have comments? If not, I'll make mine, okay? I'm against rezoning, against the owner's wishes. I think we've got a property rights issue here. I don't want anybody coming in and telling me that they want to change my property if I don't want to change it. I think it's a slippery slope if we start doing that, and just it may get to the point where we're getting pretty arbitrary on what we decide should be changed and what and not changed. When you consider a person puts their sweat and their blood and their money and whatever else, their time, into their land, wherever it is, a house, a business, and then someone comes along or some group comes along, city council, and says, well, I'm sorry, we think your property should be used for something other than you're using it for. I hope you understand, you know. So I'm totally against that. I think it's perhaps not too similar, but if we think back to the Aiken Mile Track, where that some citizens came to us and wanted to make the track a landmark, and we discussed it quite a lot, and we said no, the owner did not want it rezoned, and it's his property. Now, if the city or whoever else wants to buy the property and rezone it, fine. Or if we can work with the, like Pat's thought, of working with these property owners. There's a lot of land up here. Rogers talked about briefly, I think, about multifamily. And I think we ought to talk to those people, explain to them what we want to do, and see if we can't get concurrence from some of them. If not, I don't see us. I'm not going to support going in and just rezoning somebody's property against their will. So that's my position. I just soon scratched number 5.1. I appreciate what the committees have done, but again, I can't support that process of just telling somebody that we're going to change their zoning without their permission.
Mr. Mayor, I in general agree with the idea, and I've been pretty consistent, I believe, in the idea of not rezoning property. However, I do want to say that I think the folks who worked on the Old Aiken Master Plan really put a lot of time and effort into it and really kind of came up with a grand plan idea, which of course council is then has to deal with one way or another. One of the things we said, as you suggested, possibly talking to these groups that would be affected by this, and I wonder if we couldn't really actually do not only talk to them, but do a serious mailing to any property owner that would be affected by potentially rezoning their property, and just sort of determine what the magnitude of the problem is before we even make a decision on eliminating it completely. There may be, and as you said, if in some cases, well, if we want to rezone, well, then buy the property. If we find out that we're really down to really a very small number of properties, then maybe we should be searching for some other solution, because in fact the grand plan is a grand plan. So I'm aware of property rights. I'm not saying we ignore property rights. I'm just saying let's find out the real magnitude of the problem as far as objections to rezoning.
Tick, I think what you're saying is that, you know, we get this plan out and we see, I mean, I had questions about single family detached and RML, which exactly what is the big crux difference between those two, Roger? Because that's a huge amount of this, of the single family. What's the crux of the difference between those two zonings?
Currently, most of that area is residential, multifamily, low density.
Okay.
Currently, most of the homes in there are single family.
Right.
Most of the lots, as you probably are aware, are very narrow lots. It'd be very difficult to put attached homes in there. I mean, we could go ahead and write letters to, there'd be several hundreds of letters that would be sent out. I'm not too sure what response you're looking for from those letters, Dick.
I would hope that if you present it, that you're in, that there's a possibility that your property would be rezoned if this ordinance were passed. What do you feel about that? In other words,
okay. How do you feel?
Well, that's kind of a threat, isn't it, Dick?
No, why not say... I think they have to be notified. I mean, that's ridiculous. And frankly, I'm not for rezoning against an owner's wishes either, mainly for this reason. If something's zoned residential, if I'm in the middle of a residential neighborhood and somebody comes and buys a lot next to me and says, I want to put a restaurant here, then, and we say, no, we don't want that. You bought it as residential property. You knew what you were buying when you bought it. Then I don't think that it ought to be rezoned. But it has to work the other way as well. If you go in and you pay a commercial price for a commercial piece of property with a commercial building on it, then you have a right to expect that you're going to be able to do that. That's our contract with them when we have a zoning ordinance. And on the other hand, so I wouldn't be for changing that either against the owner's wishes at all. Because for one thing, if you changed a commercial property to a residential property, most commercial buildings are not adaptable to residential use. Some are, but we don't have lofts or anything like that much in Aiken. And therefore, your building would become a liability instead of an asset, which I don't think we have a right, which you pointed out. We don't have a right to do that. But I think it wouldn't hurt to explain to people that these... I wouldn't just say the ordinance is... explain the master plan, the time that went into it, that people in the neighborhood were involved in it, and that part of their suggestion was that your property be rezoned from this to this. What is your feeling? Not a threat in any way, shape, or form, but explaining where the suggestion came from, which
there
was
may
not
be, there may be advantages for it to be changed. That's where we need to be proactive on a positive.
And somebody might think of that if
exactly.
We present it in a positive.
If that's the case. But, Ron, you're getting back to this RML, just so I'm clear. Does RML have smaller lots?
RML means you can have attached residential homes, like apartments, but just not as many of them there. You have RMH, which is residential high density.
But if this was adopted with this single family detached on all the yellow, would we have people in there that have a lot size that they can't do anything with?
Right now, you could have a duplex in there very easily in most mm-hmm. lots, and there are several duplexes.
Right.
But I also know that tucked into some of these streets, you'll have a fourplex. There might even be two lots there that has an eightplex on it.
So if it was single family, because of the lot size, you'd have trouble with that.
Or you'd be able to get probably at least 2 to 4 units on some most of those lots.
You see, that's part of our problem here, too, because and that's a lot of that area. I think that's one of the things we need to look at and see, because if we're able to solve that particular, I mean, that's a huge amount of this land. Specific areas, I mean, we all know the specific areas, but look at one example on the at the end of Colleton and Lawrence Street, where the people just bought the restaurant. Right, is that right at the end?
Ten Downing.
Ten Downing. Is that located right there where we want to change it to multifamily? You see, at the end of Colleton. Is that it? See what I'm saying? You go down end of Colleton up at the end in Lawrence Street in Colleton. Isn't that? You see the.
That says DB.
Yeah. You see, isn't that it? Isn't that number 10? The point is, we want the possible rezones is we want to, it's to multifamily. Is that what we're saying?
It's currently retail.
Yeah, but I mean, if we did what the old master plan suggests, possible rezones, that would go to multifamily. Isn't that what this means? Or
at least it's the multifamily color. It's the same color. So. What does the DB stand for?
Where are you?
I'm right here.
Downtown business?
I don't know.
Why is that on the color?
It shows that they're proposing goes multifamily.
Yeah. Well, my point is this. I mean, think about that. I mean, the people just bought number 10 Downing. And, all right, we want it to be multifamily. Well, excuse me, you couldn't use it for a restaurant. I mean, you don't think there's going to be loss of value there. And legally, I'd like to get the question from our attorney. You don't want to say you're now multifamily, and I know from being an appraiser, that affects your property value a lot. What do we do under that case? If you rezone somebody and it causes a loss of value of their property?
Council has the right. The legal right to rezone property, you know, however you feel is in the public's best interest. I mean, you do have that. I'm not going to tell you I don't catch a lot of flack for it. But you do have the legal ability to change the zoning on a piece of property.
In a sense, though, we're really talking about a separate issue. We may have to look at the individual proposals as a separate issue.
In defense of that, I happen to think
we throw it out altogether.
In defense of that, of the color there, I happen to think land around that would be a nice site for multifamily and townhomes and whatever. So I can understand where the committee was coming from, because it's a beautiful site. I think that's what part of it's going to end up being used for too. So I understand what they're looking at, and I also understand how they arrived at some of these things. I think it's a question of being proactive and being positively proactive and not saying we're going to change your zoning. I think if we can somehow work that out, it's going to be
Let me take your example a little bit further, though. If you were to go ahead and change, let's just assume they're already operating that business as a restaurant again, and council goes and changes that zoning to multifamily residential, that doesn't mean they can't operate that business as a restaurant.
But
it would be allowed as a non-conforming existing use.
But if they sold it, or if it ever closed for a year and was not used as a restaurant, then it would have to be not. Well,
that's right.
It was. That exposes that owner to financial loss. That was
my
point about looking.
That's right.
And I think that's part of what we're discussing here about, you know, it's easy to look at this stuff, but you have to look at individual properties too. But if we're proactive with this, can we be proactive and not have 5.1? That was a question I had.
Let me give you my concern. If we start writing letters to all these individuals telling them that this committee has made this recommendation, and we'd like to have your opinion before council decides whether or not to consider this, I think it's going to raise up a lot of concerns and by these individuals, like the one at number 10 Downing, saying, why would you even want to do that to me? Is that what council wants us to do, to spend the time, the energy to write to all these individuals if you're not really seriously thinking about rezoning this at a future date?
I see no reason to put this off and to delay it and go out. This is so basic, this principle, at least to me, is so basic. It's like brushing your teeth every day. It's a no-brainer to me. Why would we tell somebody that we're going to rezone their property? Just because we have the legal right to do it. Certainly, Gary, I understand that. And the problem is, if you keep up, if you hear some of the news, you'll see communities around the country are really getting loose with this thing. They're condemning property, and they're, in some cases, giving it or selling it to developers to come in there. They're moving people out of the community in order to get the big box businesses there. And once you start this thing, to me, it's scary. And that's one reason I'm not going to vote to start it. I don't think we ought to delay. I think it shows good faith to these homeowners that we're not out there rezoning their property or even threatening them in any way that we're going to rezone them. Because I think it would be a threat. It would be a threat to me if you come out and tell me, well, look, here's the plan, and this is what the group has said, and we're trying to consider it, and we want to talk to you about how you feel about your lot.
We would appreciate your views.
And my view is to do it after the fact. That it has nothing to do to me, nothing to gain by doing it, by waiting and doing it after the fact. What are you going to learn?
What do you suggest? Just don't do anything with it.
Let's vote up and down on this issue as soon as we get there.
I'm going to move on.
Not tonight. We can't do that in work session, of course. But I don't see, Dick. I'm all for going out there. Roger and I talked about this some time ago. That we need to. I think we ought to go to every house in these areas that we would like to see changed.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down with those people or invite them block by block to a meeting. Spend 2 or 3 hours, if necessary, going over this whole thing and what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, you don't have to do that before you take a vote on this very basic principle.
No, we're going to vote on that. I'm ready to vote now on not having five.
I don't see that we have a thing to gain by doing it before, except there's a threat potential. There are possible threat issues saying, hey, you know, we haven't voted on this thing yet, and this is what the paper says, and we just like to know how you feel about it. Now, if that isn't...
No. I think what Dick was saying was they're going to put in there saying we are not going to rezone your property, period.
Well, I agree with you, Pat, but what I'm saying is if we delay deciding this issue and spend all this time going out there talking to these people,
I agree with you on
and
that.
Trying to get them to go along, we can do that anyway.
No, that's
but the principle is still there that either we're going to agree with or not. The principle.
I'm not understanding. I think one thing here then at this point. What is the question going to be on the vote? Does 5-1 stay in or does 5-1 go away? As I heard it, there are complications with leaving it as part of a plan.
We're recommending that it would go away.
Aren't there other parts of it that also involve zoning of these suggestions?
I don't believe so, Ed. When we went through it, Sandra, do you recall any other areas of... If there is, if there's very few other areas, but I don't recall any right off the...
Well, if it does, we can tackle that when we get to it on an individual item basis, if that's the case.
The only thing that I agree with the fact that if a property owner has a certain zoning and that property owner doesn't want it changed, I don't want to change it. But I don't see anything. I guess I'm thinking along the lines of the comprehensive plan, and I'm just thinking of the hours that these people spent. It's just unfortunate that we didn't say to these people that spent all these hours on these committees, look, first off, we're not changing anybody's zoning if they don't want it. You know what I mean? Because they spent hours discussing this. I mean, I was at several meetings where that's what they did, and they thought they were supposed to. And as I said, I don't I don't want to change anyone's zoning if they don't want it changed. But, and maybe the approach would be the one you said, is to say, we are not changing property owner's zoning if they don't want it changed. But I think Dick was, after I heard his suggestion, the follow-up to indicate what people that worked on this comprehensive Old Aiken Master, whatever it is, Old Aiken Master Plan, just a follow-up that this was their idea, I don't think would hurt a thing.
I think that some of the recommendations are good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're very good. And when I look at some of Park Avenue, and I go back to what Park Avenue used to look like in the back in the day, the old days, in terms of the extension of where our business district was and how how that extended. And then Richland Avenue, how we need that corridor past where I am with Friendship, how that corridor could be enriched with some attractive businesses there. Some of this stuff is good stuff.
Oh, absolutely. No, nobody's denying that. We're just talking about this one principle here on 5.1. I think the committee's done an outstanding job. And by the way, there was at least one person who voiced their opinion on this issue of not taking my property.
Oh, it's
at least one.
Sure.
And he's sitting in this audience tonight.
Yes, he is.
And if we need to hear from him, we'll hear from him.
We all agree that we don't take property. We don't rezone it.
Ms. Mayor, this is the only question
I have. The recommendation is to throw the entire 5.1 out, and I don't know if I totally agree with throwing all 5.1 out.
This is the question I have. If we're going to put in, we're not going to change anybody's zoning, period. What do we do with this? That's my only question. What, Mr. Mayor, what would you suggest we do with this plan? I mean, I think there's some good things in here, so how do we do the good things?
We talk to the people, Pat.
Well, that's all.
You mentioned that early on in your comments. We go out and talk to the people. We tell them what the committee's vision was, and this is it. But we still don't change their property without their against
their will. Taking away is a goal, as I understand.
We're doing what?
We're removing the goal.
What in that goal do you want to keep? What in that particular goal? Somebody tell me, please. 5.1. What is it that you want to keep?
Mr. Mayor,
can anybody answer that?
I can answer that.
Okay.
I agree with everything you've said about taking people's property and changing the zoning. I really do agree with that. But that's A, B, C. If you look at D, it is a rezoning of property that might not be so bad. It's taking Stony Homes to residential single family, and I think that might be something already thought about. Maybe not. I'm just giving you that to think about.
Do they agree with that?
I don't know, but I think maybe that is something that may or may not. I'm not sure, but I'm just looking at that. But what I want to say is that I don't want anybody to walk away tonight and think that. And I know you agree with this that. 5.1 is all they did. They did so many wonderful things and made so many wonderful recommendations in here that this is still a good master plan. And this one part in here that we're having so much discussion about, it's obvious that the majority of council would rather not do 5.1 in its entirety. And perhaps if it's a good time, we can hear from the people who may have come to speak about it and then look at some of the other aspects. I fully agree with you when you say we ought to take this, go to the areas involved, meet with them in small groups, hear from them, and see what they have to say. Some may voluntarily agree to make changes, but I think it's something worth following through on, that we go directly to the people involved in small groups and spend some time with them and see what they have to say about it. Mm-hmm. But I just really want to say that I think that all of these goals, some of them are really, really wonderful, well thought out, and we ought to deal with 5.1 and move on with the rest of it.
Zachary. If council desires, is anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this issue of 5.1 that we're talking about? Either pro, con, whatever. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Mike, go ahead and add.
My name is Mike Anacleri, 306 Carlton Avenue. Being a member of the committees that worked on the old master plan, it was never intended for us to say to go change zoning, period. The intent was that this is a plan that as years evolve, when property is no longer used as a business, then convert over to a residential family. The intent was never to go ahead and change it. It was always saying this is a plan, so this is something we'd like to see happen 10, 15, 20 years from now. I think probably another word should be better than rezone, and I've been trying to sit back there and think of a better word. Maybe we can say the goal is for the property to be residential at the appropriate time. That was the only thing I was saying. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank
you. Mike, somebody came up with rezone. I mean, I don't know who wrote it, but it's rezone property, single family residential on these in this map. So I mean, there's no if we pass this in its entirety.
But rather than pass it, like we're saying, can we change it? Say the goal is to have family residential where appropriate. I have to be honest with you, when we reviewed it for the last time, that probably got through us without realizing it. I think the goal, at least in my mind, was to say that eventually in the future, when the building's there that should be residential and no longer good for commercial, then change it to at the approval of the property owners. But I think better take that rezone out and just say the goal.
I think in a lot of discussions, wasn't it the fact that whoever owns it now, but if it's sold, then it would go to the current, which is, think about that. I mean, that's changing somebody's value and their property rights.
Yeah, but you're going to still retain, if it's a business, you're going to sell it as a business. The only time it's going to change, you haven't changed the zoning until you take the action of changing zoning. We're saying whenever the commercial goal of that property is no longer apropos, then it can go into changing into residential. But so long as you keep it as a commercial, keep it. Even if it's torn down or 50% lost value, you still got commercial to it. It retains its commercial life.
Well, I think we all agree on that.
I mean, I think you're hung up on the word rezone. I would just change it to a goal of property. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
I'm at GOV. I just want to echo what Mike said. I think that if you remove 5.1, I think there seems to be some confusion, perhaps in everyone's mind, when if you look at the top of the page, it clearly states goals and objectives of the master plan. And under 5.1, then it says rezone. Now, I think if you leave that in, it does allow that to be kept as a goal and as an objective. It doesn't say that this is mandatory or it's required. I think it's the methodology that you employ going forward. And as the mayor has suggested, and Pat has suggested, you'd be very proactive so that if there are areas that you feel there should be or it would be desirable to have a zoning change, then going to those people, seeking out their approval is one way to do it. By leaving 5.1 in, it clearly defines this as part of your goals and objectives as opposed to simply taking it out. That's my suggestion.
And there's a sentence that says, where appropriate.
Where appropriate, exactly.
It's just...
But I think it's important in the overall scheme of the plan to have these goals and objectives defined. But again, there's nothing mandatory. As long as this language is agreed upon, or maybe our city attorney can tell us that this is not mandatory, that any zoning changes would require the approval of property owners. In other words, there'd be some sort of consensus, but it does allow this as an objective and gives you an ability in looking forward to see what you want. Otherwise, I think you're going to have difficulty with the whole plan.
You know, I have no problem with that concept as long as it's a goal and objective. But when you look at the words, and that's what we've had to deal with, that we're dealing with the words, and words are very key, and we all know that. If you say preserve and expand detached single-family residential character without being specific, that's a goal for these parts of the city. Without specifics, like you do it tomorrow, and you do it at this house or this lot, it's just a long-term goal. As long as everybody realizes that is a long-term goal, and there are no plans to go out there and enforce, you know.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's absolutely correct, but I think keeping it as a goal and objective, just as the council every year establishes its goals and objectives, you don't make it mandatory, but it is something you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And I think that's the path you should be following with that.
Now, the problem with the way it was worded, though, and I think probably we all recognize this, is that if this were, whatever we agree on eventually, we'll get into the comprehensive plan.
Exactly.
And you know we tried to go as much as we possibly can by that comprehensive plan.
But the comprehensive plan is a good thing to bring up, because as I remember the language, we very often had consider.
Why don't we change
consider
it?
And we'll have a lot of that in here, too, because I think some of the words will probably end up being considered.
Let me propose a statement here. Why don't we change it to proposal to rezone property to single-family residential where appropriate, period. Rezoning is not mandatory, period.
I think that's,
and that's it.
That's fine.
And then those items.
What is where appropriate? How are you going to apply that?
Mr. Mayor, I believe you can't look at this without looking at this.
Right.
This is what
right.
this is what this means. And so
you got to look at both.
And I'd be stronger than that. I'd say under no circumstances will we. This is not mandatory. I'd like it a little bit stronger, saying under no circumstances will the zoning be forced to be changed or something more.
I like that too.
The change of zoning will not be forced upon the property owner.
Absolutely.
You know, but there are some positive things here. You know, from the standpoint of even, like, we take the property that would be multifamily, go with them and say, listen, if it's multifamily, you go down there now and you would have to have it rezoned. The other thing we're doing here now is that to protect what goes on in the future. So at least somebody comes in and has this and say, well, you know, I want to put offices all the way along, you know, I mean, that's exaggeration, but we have that. So that's the other reason why we try to go through this, is the fact that we don't have the encroachment into single-family residential where everybody knows what the rules are. We've gone the other way now, but let's get back to, there are some reasons why you have a comprehensive plan, and that's to make sure that people know what the future looks like. But they also have the right to know that the future, that the past is going to be maintained, too. So,
I think we add those two statements.
Yeah.
I'd like to get the comments of the people about if they think that works.
Okay, Lee, would you like to speak?
I'm Lee Poe. I also served on the committee that did this, and I'm a little bit concerned, and I want to tell you so. I don't think that 5.1 is a standalone, that you can unplug it and not affect two-thirds or half or part of the rest of the plan. And I think you need to do, if you're going to remove a section, you need to do it carefully and with considered reason about how it will impact the other portions of the plan. It is a fact that when we started, we tried to define what a time period that this thing would apply over, and we could not do that. We said, this is our vision, and this is our objectives and goals, and that's why they are listed as they are. They are not mandatory to you guys, that it's important that you change 5.1 or 18.2 today or next month or even next year. It ought to be, however, a goal that you look at and you think about as changes come up that you need to make. Thank you.
Lee, thank you very much. One thing that, however, that we have to deal with, Lee, in that regard that you mentioned, when we This could apply 20 years from now. It could apply 10 years from now. It could apply next week if we were to approve it tonight, let's say. Whenever something comes up, we look at the comprehensive plan. And if we've got these kind of words in here that says exchange existing multifamily zoning between Colleton and Park Avenue to residential family, and somebody comes to us and wants to do that, we look in the plan and says, well, right there it says change it. So it's also an immediate thing that can affect you as well.
May I respond?
Yeah, certainly. And my point is that we would have to do it if it's in the, we would be criticized if we didn't do it, since it's in the comprehensive plan, if it came up next week.
Let me cite you another example, and you're going to run into it. Somewhere down the line, the statement is in the plan that we will bury all utilities. You certainly aren't going to do that in 2004. No. You probably aren't going to do it in 2014 or 24. But it is the direction that you have to feel that the plan addresses you to move in. It doesn't say that somebody's going to come up and say, well, you know, it's in the plan, Mr. Mayor, how about fixing my house? How about doing that? It doesn't say that you're going to say, oh, certainly, if it's in the plan, it must be right. You're going to do just what you're doing here now. You're going to debate the subject at the time that it comes up and for the reasons that it comes up. This particular one, I sense it to be a real important one in that it sets the direction of the neighborhoods. You know, are you going to have multi-family, high density all over the city of Aiken? I certainly hope not as an individual. I think it's a mistake to do that. I think there are parts, and the plan identifies them. I don't know that I always agreed with everything we did, but the plan said these are the places for high density. You certainly don't want a 10-family dwelling on one of those 67-foot-wide lots in the east end of town. I wouldn't, particularly if I lived next door to them, because I know what that brings.
Right.
And let me ask you a question, Lee. It looks to me, this just dawned on me. Some of this business, like changing residential multifamily zoning between Colleton and Park to residential single family, reflects what's there, doesn't it?
It reflects, by and large, the part that I did, and I worked in the east area of town, and for the most part, it does in fact reflect what is there now. There are a few exceptions to that. But basically it is, you can't even say, let's zone by blocks, because the ends of the blocks are different than the center of the blocks. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to, you certainly don't have time enough to do it by individual lots. Mm-hmm. So you've got to lay out a direction, and what should it look like? Now, of all the points that I heard dealing with the citizens in the East District, they wanted single-family dwellings by and large. You know, I would say 90% of the people did that in that we talked to, that came to us and appeared, thought that was good. That doesn't say go change it tonight. And you will have to change that part of the town if you were to go to what this group comes up with. But I think it's important that you I agree with your wording. There are some wording problems in here, and this isn't the only one. You'll find that as you go through the document. But it was the draft that we finally ended up agreeing on, and come forward, and planning has done some things with it, but it looks pretty much the same. And there are some, it needs to be edited good, and it needs to be some rearrangement, but I think this particular one is a very important one, and it's not a standalone.
Right.
If you unplug 5.1, you better go find out what other things can't be accomplished.
Right. Well, I think after all the discussion, we can probably live with 5.1, just changing some of these words.
That's correct.
From rather than change, consider changing, or such things. We went through the same thing for years with the comprehensive plan. And, you know, as I look through this, I would say that probably at least 90% of it has to do with funding. You know, but the fact that it's goals and objectives and there's no timing on it, then that's a big difference that I think I was thinking and maybe some others were thinking with some word changes.
Mr. Mayor, let me call your attention to 1.5 to further illustrate his point. 1.5A.
I'm Bob Meadows. I live at 900 Magnolia Street.
Oh, excuse me a minute, Beverly. You want to, Bob, can you wait just a minute?
Sure. No, he can go ahead and speak.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that if you look at 1.5A, that's reestablishing the parkway along Williamsburg Street. I think everybody in here knows that that's not something we can do in the very near future. But here again, it represents something that they would like to see done. And we know it's not going to get done in the next 2 years, but I think when they were working on this, they did what we asked them to do, look at the Old Aiken area and come up with suggestions as to how we can best go forward in the future, not the next 5 years or the next 10 years maybe, but long time out. And so there are some other things in here that a lot of people may find objectionable right now, but given the time, they may work fine.
Yeah, and I agree. And you notice in that same section you're talking about, it says wherever possible.
Well, I think
5.1 didn't have those kinds of words. And if you go down to 1.5C, it says, if possible. I mean, some of these words really need to be changed to give this leeway and to say, hey, do it when you can, or do it when funding's available, or something like that, as opposed to just extend or change. Those are pretty drastic words, and that's what bothered me a little bit. And if we change some of those words as we go through this whole thing, I think fine. We can live.
Be fine.
We can live with it.
We don't want to do arbitrary rezoning.
Yeah, we went through some kind of browbeating kinds of meetings over the past several years on this comprehensive plan. And every time we come up with something, somebody would pull the comprehensive plan out, not every time, but occasionally, and say, look, this is what it says, and you're not doing that. That's why I'm very sensitive, and I'm sure everybody is, to let's do what the comprehensive plan says, but let's make sure we can do with what it says. Let's make sure it's saying the things that we can live with, given the fact of funding and anything else that comes into the process.
Just a brief moment before Mr. Meadows speaks. This is a legal document that you'll be passing. So it is something that you have to be aware of, that whatever wording you have in here, whatever changes you make, this is a legal document that we are to follow, we as staff, the direction that you're giving us. So words are very important here as to what is stated, and even as much importance is it gives a time frame as to when these things are supposed to be done. Short term, midterm, long term, ongoing. And if it says short term, you're bringing a pretty strong message saying that these things should either be studied, considered, or done within a certain period of time. So again, just wanted to make that statement.
Yeah.
Bob, I'd like to tell you that
Bob, introduce yourself
before the council. And first of all, I'd like to tell James Holland what a wonderful job he did in working on the old Aiken Master Plan, and we all appreciate that very much. We all want to be a part of it.
I think you said state your name for the record and the address.
I beg your pardon.
Your name
and
address for the record.
I thought I told you I'm Robert Meadows. I live at 900 Magnolia Street, Southeast.
I think we were talking. We're doing a lot of that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. But I prefer Bob. Okay. I believe also that everybody should be a part of the process, and you people have allowed me. And I've tried to take advantage of it, and I believe it's important that if you try to convey something, you do it in writing so that later or at any time people can look at it. And I've done that, and I've tried to be a part of this process. The process has come down to you people. And the truth of the matter is this. You cannot take people's personal property, regardless of what and how you feel. And all these objectives and what have you that these people over here that don't have any property, they're talking about rezoning property that don't belong to them. And the people at those meetings came, and not a single person in the subcommittee five that I wasn't a part of that you wouldn't, you know, I went and talked with Fred, and he said, look, you talk to Roger, you can be a member of that. And I attended every meeting. I never was able to vote in any of the votes. And I followed the process as a good citizen. I've been here 28 years, and nothing you do is going to change me. I'm going to be the same person when this is over, and I don't have to live with what it's going to cost me if you change my property. I promise you, I'll live just as well and do just as well. So I think it's important that you go back to the fundamentals of what's involved in the financial world today. In the last 3 years, this country survived on real estate primarily. Everything else floundered, if you will. So you're talking about the basic principles of our society. And in the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution and the 14th, it provides you with protection against what is perhaps taking place here. We don't know that. You have to go through all. That's another process, and it may be one very well that you see. And I don't mean that like it sounds. I'm just saying, you know, that we talk about processes, and that is one of them. So I just want to voice my opinion that I think, and I have followed this thing, and I've tried to be objective about the whole thing. There's a lot of way you can word things, but once you convey to the citizens in this community that when they buy property, when they spend their money, or when they go out as a business person, people who are in business, it's not just the person who owns the property. When you start rezoning, this zoning that, you know, that the proposal that you have before you, I just added them up before I came in here, 964 pieces of property involved in that. And that's important. And the suggestion that you get the people who own the property involved, a recommendation that I would make if you want to follow that object, I think this, first of all, the longer it goes on, all of us who have property or who want to do something, we can't do anything with it. Our hands are tied because I've been sitting almost a year now. Because people who may be interested either in leasing or buying it, I have not been able to do anything with it, and Roger will verify this because I've been sitting right in front of him with people who wanted to buy it and start a business. So the suggestion I would have, I go back to what James did to begin with and what you people suggested and Ed Evans and them. Through the media, they did all this advertising. We saw it on the screen a while ago. All the advertising through the news media, through letters. So what? Follow the same procedure and put it out there. And anybody whose property, either any of these 964 parcels that wants to change and wants to rezone their property, give them an opportunity to. Let them come down and do that over. We're talking about long range. Make it a year. Give them a year, and after a year, then redecide what you want to do. But give everybody who wants to change their zoning, give them a year to come and do it. And I go back And I'll say this because it's not a hypothesis, it's a fact. You're looking at a person who has been a subject of this Old Aiken master plan. It's been a very costly one to me. And also, in addition to the Old Aiken master plan, the thing that really, really is, and I don't want to bring it up here because it's a little unrelated, but it may give some insight to these people and maybe some of you council members. The change was not a change in zoning in 1999. November the 22nd, 1999, Roger informed me, sitting there before two men ready to buy a piece of property, or wanting to buy a piece of property, that the ordinance had been changed, November the 22nd, 1999, and you could no longer use the property for which I bought it. So, look, I don't want to take up your time. I will say this, and I've said it to some of you people, I don't know how on earth you put up with all us people. I mean, you got to have a lot. There's got to be a better way to make a living, I'm here to tell you. Ma'am, but you've been kind to me, all of you.
I have a question to ask you.
Yes, ma'am.
You're on Carlton and...
On Marlboro.
Marlboro.
Yes, ma'am.
Is it... Yours is industrial, light industrial.
Light industrial.
Right. Is it more prosperous for you to leave your property in light industrial or have it single family? If you develop that single family, can you get more money for your property in that way or light industrial?
I have not been able to thus far.
Hmm.
I have welcomed and asked most of you to come and visit the property. I think that would be important.
Right.
But again, you've got a long night, and I don't.
Right.
Unless you have another question.
Now that was what I was wondering.
But my answer would be I don't think so.
Just like.
Any other question? Again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob, very much. Okay, where do we go from here? Pat, you had suggested some wording some time ago.
I think Leslie suggested not make it mandatory and not even put in. I think we ought to say you want to put that consider. But I'm trying to understand where Roger wants to take it out versus, Roger from the...
Well, originally when we had talked about it at the last meeting and we decided to have this meeting, several of you had indicated that you didn't want to see the rezoning take place. We looked at trying to add some words in here that really, in our opinion, wasn't going to help you a whole lot. Another area other than changing some of the words is the time frame. Instead of saying short term,
make it long term.
Well, I think one way of just saying it's ongoing. That way you're not saying it's short term, midterm, long term. It's just ongoing as individuals come to you, as we hold neighborhood meetings. Hopefully we'll get some people. We have a plan. It's not a bad plan, as everybody said. It's how do you get from the point you're at now to the plan that we have in front of us. That's going to take a lot of redevelopment that we're doing on the north side, changes. And again, this when we looked at this Old Aiken master plan, we were visioning out, what do we want this place to look like 20 years from now?
That's right.
It's not what we were looking at to be 5 years from now.
That's right.
And too often I think we look at it, what is it going to be like very soon? So if you would like to, we could go ahead and change some of the wording here, but then make the time frame ongoing. So it's not someone coming to you and saying, well, according to this, it says in the next few years, short term was 1 to 3 years, you're going to change these zonings. Well, that was not the intent of the rezoning in these areas. At least I don't think it was.
Don't you think the basic intent most of the time was not to do what some other towns have done and which have lost their less affluent neighborhoods without getting a chance to fix them up? I mean, they've lost them to commercial interests, and I think the master plan was to say, if we can do what we want to do, this is what we would like to see happen.
I think... Go ahead, I'm sorry. This one area, though, it sounds good, but it may not be as easy as we think. The dominant land use should be detached single-family dwellings. Now, I'm talking about for this what's in this grid here. I mean, well, it's actually for the old Aiken. Well, if you look at some of these areas, I mean, we in the housing committee just to the west of Mr. Meadows' property, where Stathy Vereen's old property used to be, the Pat's Ribbon. I didn't happen to know that was Pat's Ribbon, but anyway, we looked at trying to get some townhomes built in there because we said, you know, I mean, it's a light industrial. We like to get housing downtown, so that's what we're trying to do. If we do this, we got single family horse. Well, I think we need to be real careful and I guess I don't object to single family horse if that's what, I don't quite understand what that means. It's 1 acre, but I don't know whether that's the best use in saying detached single family, because attached single family on that property is what I think might work, which gets a light industrial done to people living in it and increases the tax base and does all that kind of thing. So I think we'd be very careful about saying the dominant, you know, I think we need to look at that word and say it all needs to be single family detached, because I happen to think that one of the futures of Aiken would be, look at what's going on with the new stuff down right downtown with all the attached units, expensive attached units on the old Gulf station, on a theater, on the six that we did. So I think we need to kind of study this from that standpoint too, and know that in certain areas, certainly attached single family, you know, that type of home ownership is not that bad an idea.
But the fact is, Mr. Holland, this is what these committees said they wanted, right? This was their, I mean, this is what they said, that if they had their wishes in the future, that this was what they would want, right?
Jane, what I'm really concerned about is somebody comes in here with a really nice townhome development and that property sits there because in our comprehensive plan we said it wanted single family
homes. I don't think it would because of this. If this
we
is
we're not locked into everything there, we can make changes and revisions, can't we?
Of course.
Sure. Right. Just write that down when I want to hear that when you
do it all the time.
Doesn't really in part depend on the definition of the word dominant?
Listen, I'll be honest with you. I think there's some wonderful things in here. I just think that under certain, you know, the character of the residential is what I think that they were pointing at. They don't want to lose the residential area. They would like to have it expanded, and I understand that.
Would it make sense to talk about the dominant land use should be for single family dwellings?
To me, that's better than detached single-family dwellings.
For instance, I mean, we all know at Aiken Prep, we're talking about having attached homes there.
How they do.
And which right now is zoned LP, or they want it to be zoned LP.
Well, here again, you get to a word, dominant. You know, what does that mean?
I agree.
Does that mean more than 50%? I would assume it does. it could... Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm Barbara Gunner. I'm from Wesley's Automotive on Park Avenue behind the Railroad Depot. Mm-hmm. Right now it looks like we're wanting to be single family with horses or with a horse. Our problem is we are behind the Railroad Depot, and we do have horses for neighbors. During the summer it's not always pleasant, and they've got a lot of single families with horses in here. And you're talking about dominant. That, to me, that's no place for horses. I realized, you know, they've done a lot with the area over there that's been renovated, and they take care of the horses and all that. But the frontage here that we have has, from all my knowledge, always been a store. Even back when we were children, I've heard it was Carpenter's store. And now we're an automotive business. I don't think it's practical to put houses there. For one thing is the noise. And the people that live further down from us, they still have the train, but not quite to the degree that we do. I mean, if when we have a business call and the train goes by, it's awful. Can you imagine horses there or children there for that matter? So I think that's another thing that needs to be looked at. There's just so many different areas, like you said, Mayor. Address these issues one at a time. You know, come to us, say, we'd like to put condos in there. We might agree. I don't know that we would, because we had bought this with the intention of being there the rest of our lives as far as a business. If we decide to retire, we wanted our youngest son to take over because he works with us. What if he's disabled for a year or two? Then he loses his license to have a business there if it's zoned as a single family with a horse. So,
Barbara, how would you feel if you saw something in writing and said that something to the fact that long range, sure, it'd be good, you know, we'd like to have it single family, but we will not, rezoning should not take place except with the consent of the owners. You have a plan, and maybe you've got that vision for what you'd like to see it eventually.
Right.
but yet you've got that statement there also.
Mm-hmm.
It says
that
we will not rezone without the owner's permission.
And I have no problem with that, but I just want this to be realistic when you're looking at your rezoning. I realize they put a lot of work into it, and I'm not taking away from any of that, but the fact that it needs to be realistic when you look at the rezoning. Like in our case, I think it's very unrealistic. Behind Mr. Meadows' land is the big tower. Y'all probably saw it on TV the other night when they took a picture of the train. All that, to me, is very unrealistic to have that as anything to do with residential and horses. I wouldn't want to live there. Who knows down the line if they decide to put condos in it? And somebody else wants to live there, that might be fine too. I don't know. But for me, I wouldn't. I mean, we're there quite a bit, night and day, through the business. And I apologize for the phone ringing earlier. I had an emergency call coming in case it disturbed you.
I didn't hear it.
But that was the main thing. To me, the horse area there is just completely out of place. Horses should not be right in amongst a lot of people because of the health issues and flies and all that. I have nothing against horses. It's just not always a comfortable situation either, having a lot of horses around a close neighborhood. So, thank you.
Thank you, Bella.
And you're at Park and what, Bob? You're at Park and right. I know where. Okay, thanks. I
and it was a grocery store, is that not right, Mr. Jackson? It was Carpenter's grocery store. My dad said he bought Mr. Carpenter's thumb and many times went in there and got, when he got, he used to weigh the meat, but he'd weigh his thumb too, isn't that right, Bill?
Is anyone else in the audience who would like to speak on this particular issue? Any others, for that matter?
I'm Mike Farmer. I'm an attorney. I do not own any of the property in question, but I have talked to Mr. Jackson, Rodney Boatwright, and Paul Scott. One of the, in reviewing this, I agree with you. I totally don't want the zoning forced upon them. But going a little further, that this area up there around the farmers market out towards the Buford Street, I personally wouldn't want to live in the area, and I don't think it would be appropriate for single family. Mr. Jackson has almost an entire city block that he has a warehouse on. It is commercial property. and so much can happen. If somebody in this area has something that's zoned and they're grandfathered and they desire to tear down their building and build a new building to make their business better, they're prohibited from doing that. They can keep their old building, so it would create a rundown business area because they couldn't tear down their business and build a new one. And a lot of these people have bought property in there, commercial property, with no thought of using it for anything other than commercial. The value of commercial property is much greater than single family residential. And if with this plan is approved without either deleting the 5.1, which would be my suggestion, I think you're doing the citizens of Aiken County or City of Aiken a disservice. You're having a chilling effect on potential purchasers of their building because, as Mr. Mehta said, the two people that were looking at his, they probably said, I believe I'll back off and I'll go out the city limits. The prior owner of Mr. Scott's property, Andy Poole, had Aiken Auto Electric. He went in there and he told me many times in not so very polite language, he wishes he had done the same thing that Wayne did out at Wayne's Automotive. He had let City of Aiken keep their land and he had gone outside the city limits. And business, incomes, B&B Glass, Jackson Transfer, Paul Scott, the other businesses in there are important to the city of Aiken. As nice as it is that we have beautiful single family dwellings, it's also important that we have businesses where people can work, have an income. And if you pass this, I think you're putting the message out to the business community that Aiken is business unfriendly. And my opinion would be that the best thing you could do was delete 5.1 in its entirety from your plan. Thank you.
Mike, one question. Suppose we put the wording, that same question I asked Ms. Gunner, you know, that there would be no rezoning without the owner's permission. How would you feel about that?
You'd have to ask an appraiser on that, would be in a position. But if you've got this master plan to convert it to single family, it will have a chilling effect on the value of the property, and it will chase off potential purchasers. There's nobody from Marlboro. What, there might be two houses from between Richland Avenue and Marlboro Street out to Buford. That is not. That is cornfields. Southern Bell has an entire block. Mr. Jackson has an entire block. That corridor on Buford Street has what, state buildings and Aiken Automotive and stuff like this. If you do this, you're going to chase prospective new businesses out of the city of Aiken. They are going to do the same thing that Wayne's did, said, I would not build a business in the city of Aiken under any circumstances. Andy Poole bought his property 1 year prior to the date that Wayne bought the property for Wayne's Automotive. Wayne had his business up and running a year ahead of Andy Poole's. It was a 2-year delay. And so if you have anybody in there, I think the City of Aiken needs to be friendly to B&B Glass, the businesses on Park Avenue, and, you know, if Coward Corley were torn down and made single family, I surely wouldn't want to have my primary residence up there.
Yeah.
But now where B&B is, Mike, isn't it recommended that it be business limited?
It is, but if you go in there and it says 5.1, the dominant land use should be for the tax single family dwelling.
Well, the dominant. I'm just trying to think.
Maybe if they would modify the map.
That was what I was going to ask you. What if you're talking about this area?
The map pass Marlboro Street is a little bit grand in its expectation.
Let me give you an example, Jane. Look at Lawrence. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Look at the map on Lawrence Street and Hampton, where we have institutional, we got GB now, limited business and limited professional. This is on the north between Abbeville and Hampton Avenue on Lawrence Street. And we all know what that is. I mean, Lawrence Street, there's a lot of traffic on Lawrence Street. But where it says GB now, which they've got a chiropractor and a couple law offices and those type of things, and we have some offices across the street there. I think Mike's point is we're sending a signal that we want that to be single-family residential detached on Lawrence Street. I understand what he's saying. I mean, think about it. We're saying the guy that sent us, well, are y'all encouraging no more businesses downtown because you don't? That's important, and that's what he's trying to say. And I can understand that argument.
I don't have any problem leaving the business zones that we've got downtown and just not expand. I don't want to see them expanded particularly or necessarily, you know. But I see your point about the map. I mean, I think that's something we have to look at real closely.
Now, on the other side, but on the Pendleton side, I think that is more residential, I believe. But on the Lawrence Street, it is business. Isn't it? I mean, Leslie, I think that's. I know there's businesses all up and along from there on into the main downtown. So I understand what you're saying, Mike.
That street is pretty much dominant businesses to have.
And
residential
along.
So.
And one of the biggest eyesores down there is the area between Park and South Boundary. Once you get out of the city limits, of course, we have no timberline and all that. I lock the doors and on my vehicle and pray I don't have a flat tire when I'm going down timberline, because that is, you know, we have no trouble over that. But the people from South Boundary and Colleton, they are wanting to move out and in this area, but as far as any great demand or any problems with the use of the businesses over there, where Mr. Jackson's warehouse, he's got a warehouse at the corner of Richland and where's that?
Sure.
Where's the Prothro warehouse? Richland and
Williamsburg.
Richland and Williamsburg. And it is by far not the prettiest building in Aiken, South Carolina, but if we had a storm, I would probably rather be in this warehouse that the Prothros built 100 years ago than in most of the modern-day houses. And it is a very serviceable warehouse. He has a storage building. It doesn't leak. It's very serviceable. He's been using it for years. He has a warehouse over there behind Jones Supply, which is the same thing. It won't win any beauty awards, but it's a serviceable place. And I don't want to get the thing that, oh, we don't want warehouses and movers, and they need to go out of business, and we'll take our business to across the river to Augusta. I want Aiken to be business friendly.
Mike, one other question before you sit down. I just want to make sure I understand. Are you saying that if we pass this and started showing this around, you're saying this, you think, would discourage businesses in some of these areas?
That part, if this map shows that you intend to develop it to single family, business is not going to want to come in there, in my opinion. Because the zoning that the county has in industrial areas prohibits single family dwellings, because if I'm out there living close to Owens Corning and Owens Corning spends $50 million on a plant and they've got a 2-acre lot next door where a family has
a single-wide mobile home and 14 kids. The kids are providing a security problem for the plant, a vandalism problem. You need to have your business separated from your businesses, and as you get into the industrial, you need to more or less preclude residential. Let the residential areas be residential and the business be business. But the area out there by Marlboro, from Marlboro on out to Buford Street, there's, I think there are two houses down there almost to Hampton Avenue, and the rest of it is business and has no single family utilization at this time. And the area over on Park Avenue, I don't know anybody that's scrambling to buy a single family residential lot on Richland Avenue from Lauren out to Owens Corning, or and Park Avenue once you get past Union Street. That's not a, on this side of the railroad, is not a high demand for residential. On the other side of the railroad is a different story, but not on this side of the railroad. Mm-hmm. It is a business area, which I would hope Aiken would be business friendly, because they're not as pretty as Woodside houses, but they provide jobs and income, and that is, everybody can't work at, you know, a big plant or a big high-rise building. Some people have to turn wrenches and do the blue-collar work. And we need to be friendly to those people in there. They need their area up there, which is what is in that area now. And Life of Georgia isn't going to build their national headquarters up there across the street from the farmers market. They're going in a different direction, and it is, we have to have businesses up there that have work on vehicles, have more or less blue collar work.
Okay.
Mike, let me just say to you that I grew up on Marlboro Street, right across from where the meat place is, the little red house near where the Jackson storage is. The little red house that I grew up is not torn down. And I recall as a little girl, my father farmed for the Provosts. And they were little shack houses that a lot of the workers worked for the Provosts. When I saw the Bell South building go up, I remember as a child, knowing the affluency that the African American community carried, and that was the hub of the affluent neighborhood, and seeing Bell South build their building and the chain link fence, I'm a little girl, but I was appalled by that. I remember that feeling. I was appalled by that, and appalled by the city planning. Didn't know much about government at all, but appalled by the city planning that they would allow Bell South to rezone that property. Didn't know what rezoning was, but I could not understand why that could not be a continuous neighborhood for the community. And here we are about planning better for our city. I'm not saying to zone, to change anybody's zoning, but I think we've got to do a better job in terms of planning what the future will look like for this town. And that's all we're trying to do. Don't want to change anybody's zoning without consent.
And I appreciate the fact that you live there, but it is not a residential. You don't want to live there. You don't want to buy the lot.
No, but where the Bell South building is, as you pointed out, would have been better. It would have been better if that had been formed. And it was cotton fields. I picked cotton in that area.
There's still some fields across the street.
If that had been a continuous neighborhood rather than the Bell South location.
That was before I came to Aiken,
right.
And I'm not even sure at that time that Aiken had zoning when that was there. I don't know when Southern Bell came, but it is not, you know, and they're doing wonderful things back there, back to Schofield. I applaud the urban renewal of the houses that are built back up, Smith Hazel, and I have said that is a wonderful thing to do. But these people have businesses, and they just don't want them. They want to keep the value of their property. The value of commercial property is greater than residential, and nobody wants to
live and have their dogs and their children on a major thoroughfare next to a business. It's dangerous to the children, it's dangerous to the business, and that area up there where the people have built these businesses, let them keep their businesses, and, you know, we've got plenty of areas which we are expanding into residential. The community trailer park is, thank God, is now gone, and they built a wonderful development in there. But the tear-down viable businesses are to zone them, to say that the dominant area is to make them single families, but chase them out of the city of Aiken, and we're not going to have jobs, and we're not going to have business licenses. And part of the city has to be business-friendly. We need jobs.
I think it's a misnomer here that we're going to go in and take someone's property, and we are not about to take anyone's property or rezone anybody's property without consent.
I know, ma'am, but when you have the dominant land use should be for single-family detached dwellings, if I was to build a business, I would not buy in that area.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Well, I must admit, if I were looking at it, that area too, I would question before I would buy into it if I saw something on a plan.
So this is the plan for the whole town, though, right? Not just for this area. I mean, the fact of life is now the dominant land use is single family detached dwellings.
But of course,
dwellings.
It goes back with this, and if you
right.
Look,
and again, I think we're still off of the general idea of 5.1 and a map. I think then we still have to look at the map at some point and evaluate the neighborhoods there. But that's really a different debate, I think, than the general. The map, without the map, we may as well not have the plan virtually.
Well, I think the key here is working with the individual people, the individual landowners.
Why don't we take the statement, the dominant land use, out?
Anybody else have any thoughts on that? I'm getting hoarse. I'm talking too much.
Can we get back to where we're going to keep 5.1 or do away with 5.1? I mean, is it a feeling that if we keep it and change it to consider rezoning private single-family residential where appropriate, rezoning will not be made mandatory under any circumstances? Is that strong enough to and leave the character of what we're trying to do? But, you know, I can understand where Mike's coming from. You see, preserve and expand the detached single-family residential character. That is a major goal for Old Aiken Master Plan. Does that send, you know, maybe it should be preserve the detached single-family residential character. In other words, where there are single-family residential character, we want to keep it. We don't want encroachment in those areas. That's one thing we're going to be very careful about. Sending the signal that we want to change it all to all this to single-family residential. I'm not so sure I'm in favor of that to change. I'm talking about I need to get a better handle on what RML allows.
That's a different debate, though, but I agree. I understand what you said.
Because it may end up hurting us in the long run.
I agree.
So I would soften that even number five, but I understand what they were trying to accomplish. I guess the question to you, Mr. Mayor, is do we leave 5.1 softened?
That's really where I would come down.
Has everybody in the audience spoken that wanted to? I just wondered.
Anyone else? Yeah, anyone else want to speak?
I should say that Ed Giobbe's comments really were well taken in the first place. These really are described as goals and objectives, but the language itself was a little hard. Let's soften it appropriately and then get down to start back with number 1, 2, 3 and go through it all.
Is there objections to the proposed changes in the language that's been recommended already?
I don't object to that as a as another draft. We're going we're gonna look at this thing several times, that's for sure.
If we I could agree with Mr. Farmer.
I don't have any problem with it taking out that dominant land use.
Yeah, I'd like to take it out.
I don't see if there's anything.
I think Mike Farmer has a good thought there as to what a prospective person coming in wanting to buy a piece of land would think. And, yes, ma'am.
Hello, I'm Leslie Giobbe from 541 Grace Avenue, and I worked on the Old Aiken Master Plan, District 5, Northeast section, and we did a survey of the residents that lived in that district, and we got a very, very high response rate. We got over 40 respondents, and they took the time to fill out detailed responses to each one of the questions. And so we really tried to take what they wanted their neighborhood to be like. And as Leslie said, one of the issues was, well, we do have this commercial area, and if we were doing it over, we wouldn't necessarily do that. But we tried to figure out creative ways to coexist, you know, with the original intent and the current intent of the neighborhood with what was already there. Another thing that came up in terms of zoning changes is we were trying to figure out people basically wanted it to be primarily residential, but we talked about the idea of having home-based businesses. We've been to towns where that are very similar in character, where there'll be a home and then a cute house that looks just like it, but maybe there's a dress shop or something there. And we talked about, well, you know, so that these people have got, you know, in that area a way to make a living, and yet it still maintains that residential, homey feeling to the neighborhood. So we talked about that. We talked about issues having to deal with the really narrow size of the lots, the 20-foot lots, because we discovered in the course of doing all this work that the code requires you have 15-foot egress for the fire trucks in case there's a fire. Well, if you have a 20-foot lot, how do you build a house? So we thought, well, some lots could remain open and be and manicured and just create sort of an open breathing space between residential areas. And then others, where they could be combined, you'd have a 40-foot wide lot. Maybe you could have a duplex where you have a shared wall and you have a building that fits the character of Aiken, you know, the architectural standards that was talked about. So some of these things probably entailed perhaps a need at some point for some type of zoning tweaking or whatever, but we really did listen to our district. We really went out and did the footwork. We did the paperwork, and we tried to follow what they wanted, was to make it a more livable place, you know, clean up the trash, have beautiful parkways, have it a little bit better lit, and have a residential feel. And even where you do the duplexes on the 40-foot wide, you know, the two 20-foot lots put together, do it in such a way that you could have a wide space where you have your own private property and then you have some common space, and do it so that the exterior architecture really blends in with what the Old Aiken was about. And then just one other observation about the horse properties down by Colleton, between Colleton and Park. I didn't work in that area, obviously, but just from what I heard from people who did, they said, well, you know, that's so close to that track area that it's kind of in keeping. So just one observation would be that it wouldn't necessarily be a great place to have high-density multifamily condos or townhouses or whatever down that way. So those are my thoughts and also the thoughts from our committee.
Leslie, you said that wouldn't be a place. Is that
for
what you
high
said?
Density, yeah. No. I don't think right. Down, you know, between Colleton and Williamsburg. So there is that warehouse between Colleton and Park on the east side of Williamsburg that's been there forever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you can walk down there in the evening and watch the mice being chased by the fox, by the dog. You know, it's really like a whole food cycle. And it's been there a long time, and I think that was one of the places they were talking about doing something with. But really, the thought was to try to have the businesses, the existing business, coexist, but as businesses decided no longer perhaps to be there, then have it shift over. It's sort of a gradual a gradual thing, not sort of like we're coming in, and if you're a business, you can't be here. That mm-hmm. that was not the intent mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. But just to find a way to coexist.
Which one was five, ma'am?
I'm sorry. Oh, five was the least.
Oh, this area up here. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, what are we going to do with 5-1?
Soften it.
Soften it. Mm-hmm. Would it help, you think, to put the statement first, not last, concerning the we won't be rezoning without the owner's permission? Make that in dark print or something like that. To me, that's dominant. I mean, it should be the main thing. If we end up leaving it in, I think that it ought to be real apparent, let me say, real right up there where everybody sees it.
We're going to remove the statement of dominant land use. We're going to take that out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. We're finally going to agree on doing something there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. Let's just do it.
Yeah. Roger, do you think between you and Ed and James and whoever can soften this thing up a little bit?
Yes.
To satisfy everybody.
I was going to say the staff to look at it. Again, we would caution not to put in there that without permission in every case, because you may have a case where, again, you have absentee landowners or you can't get everybody on a particular land and want to sign, and you really want to go ahead and change it to a different zone. And you may be tied by the fact that you're saying unless everybody gives permission, there may be a case in the future.
You had that problem on Till Hill, didn't you, sort of?
We
finally got it resolved.
We finally got it resolved, but again, and Mr. Smith can speak to this probably even better than I can, what that language would mean.
The other concern, I guess, is if council puts that language in there, you know, we will never rezone a property without the owner's consent. And I mean, one of the things you're going to do with that is you're going to go around, and when somebody expresses concern that they're worried their property is going to be rezoned, says, no, it's not a problem, and we've already gotten our comprehensive plan. Council's never going to rezone a property without the owner's consent. And then, you know, somehow or another, the makeup of council changes in the future, and the future council decides it is a good thing to rezone certain property even though they don't have the consent of the owner. Really all they have to do is modify that portion of the comprehensive plan, which is just like modifying any other ordinance that we have in the city. Right. And then, you know, those promises that council members have made to homeowners or property owners that property owner is going to feel like, you know, he has had some property rights violated and that sort of thing because he had council's promise that it was never going to happen, and then 10 years down the road, lo and behold, it does happen. So, I mean, what I think you're trying to put in there is, you know, a general council policy. You know, just like council, you know, I think most people who have followed Aiken now know city council ain't going to annex a property into the city of Aiken that really doesn't want to be annexed. I mean, that has been council's general policy for, you know, as long as I've been city attorney. There's no problem with council as a general rule having that policy, but then to say we're never going to do it, really council can't say we're never going to do anything. Because 2 years, it really isn't that long a period of time. You know, you can have another election come along, and the new council may decide, well, you know, we surely are going to do that.
But this document is related to this map. If we put some wording in here that the rezoning will not be made mandatory for this document, I don't see. Yeah, we can get sued for anything. But I mean, if we got an issue that's for public safety or for public domain or something, mm-hmm. we're still going to try to. We'll do the things we have to do. But this document goes with this. My God, we've got 900 rezonings here that we're saying that we got to say something.
Well, I mean, you're saying that you know, number five says your goal is to preserve it and expand the detached single-family residential character of this area.
But what we're on
5.1
right now.
5.1 says to rezone property to single-family residential where appropriate.
Consider.
You know.
We consider.
You,
we're not
certainly, you, certainly you could put consider rezoning property where appropriate. But, I mean, you know, where appropriate, I mean, the council doesn't want to do it because council's general policy is we're not going to force somebody to rezone property that they don't want to rezone. Certainly that's an issue that would be considered appropriate.
Well, so you're saying we could say it just that way and not get in trouble.
Correct.
But once we start saying we absolutely aren't going to.
Mm-hmm. Well, we probably protect ourselves about saying
never
consider, because we got to consider everything. You know?
Yeah.
Are you saying
I feel a little bit differently in that I think that where the owner can be reached, you ought to have his or her permission. And where there's abandoned property or absentee landlords you can't find, those are different situations.
I don't think there's anything wrong with council passing this comprehensive plan update and then providing marching orders to the planning staff. Let's do a survey of this entire area, you know, with direction. You know, are you voluntarily interested in changing your property from the zoning of this to the zoning of this? There's nothing wrong with council taking a proactive stance, directing the staff, this is what we want you to do, but understand we want to do it in a friendly fashion, and we don't want anybody feeling like they're forced to rezone their property. You know, see what you get. But I mean, you know, you can ask somebody to rezone property. There's nothing wrong with that. And if they tell you no, you know, live with their answer. But the I was trying to think of a good example. The best example I could think of was the when the Oswalds came to have that property rezoned to some sort of business type use, and it was on Pine Log Road, and that particular area of the concept plan says we want that property to be residential. And y'all denied the rezoning because the concept plan said that property should be residential in nature. You know, that's what I see this portion of the concept plan doing for you. Somebody along Park Avenue, where it's presently zoned RML, comes along with a proposal, and they want to make that property, you know, a more industrial or light industrial type use that's, you know, more intense than what it is zoned now, and certainly more intense than what the concept plan says. I mean, that's where I would see council going, and Ed telling you, this really doesn't comply with the concept plan, because the concept plan says you generally want this property to be more residential in nature. But certainly putting in there that, you know, you eventually want to see this property rezoned to a residential character does not mean that it has to be done tomorrow. I would be concerned if you left it in there as a short-term goal. I think that would tend to lead the planning department to believe they need to go ahead and get that started right away. Mm-hmm. But if you leave it as more of a long-term or an ongoing kind of thing, I think that would be helpful.
Oh, boy. Well, we're just looking for the right words, aren't we?
Roger, get with a lawyer and see what wording we can come up with. We're reasonable. I don't mind being.
Do you know one?
I don't mind putting in rezoning with not being mandatory.
He didn't say good lawyer. He just said lawyer.
A lawyer. One-armed lawyer. On this hand.
Yeah, this. We don't want this.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Mayor, if you would like, I think we understand the concept now, and we needed to discuss this in detail in 5.1 to better understand what council wanted us to do before we came up with a lot of different other changes. As we said in the very beginning, if you really wanted to get rid of everything and you didn't want to rezone these properties, you could just do away with 5.1. By modifying and making these other changes, you can live with both areas.
and kind of fit somewhere down the middle. But we will have to make some changes in the timing, some changes in the other things, so it becomes more an area where you are considering. You're not, like I think it was barely put in down here, number D, rezone the property occupied by Stony Homes. That's very specific. Well, and that probably needs to be changed, that, you know, discuss the property owner, the rezoning this property. But the way it's written right now is rezone that property. And I'm not too sure that's exactly what you're trying to say. And so if you let staff, we'll work on it and come back with you with the changes that might be more appropriate.
Plus, we're also saying that maybe we don't agree with some of these map.
Well, I have some concerns about it myself. I mean, I really do. I mean, I am too.
I really am. And
what would be helpful there, because we could spend hours on this map.
I know.
Hours.
I know.
Would be that if council members have some particular properties or areas that they would like to discuss in particular, we could take a look at them. You could funnel those thoughts, ideas. Just like Pat mentioned, in that one area on Lauren Street, between Abbeville and Hampton, there is a lot of property. There's a drugstore located where the chamber used to be. It's recommended that that would be residential. There are several properties in there. Now, maybe that's what the majority of council wants, is that it would go residential.
And all that at one time was residential.
And all of it was at one time. Or you may want to keep some of it professional. Another property is the one at Barnwell and Morgan Street. You just gave away some of that property to be made residential. This is showing it to be limited professional. We want to keep that as showing as limited professional. So it'd be helpful if you come through here and maybe we get some consensus that way. Otherwise, we could probably spend a lot of time going block by block by block on this.
I need to go drive around it again.
Okay. All right. So council needs to do this as requested.
Okay. Roger, the land that you mentioned that we just approved single family. Oh, that's single family attached. So that would be okay. We can have that single family attached on the land on Lancaster Street in Morgan and that the city just gave. Is that right? It shows a single family attached, which is what we're going to put in there, right? I'm talking about
Yeah, it shows single family attached.
Okay.
And right now it's zoned as limited professional, so right. You know, we would be making the appropriate change there.
Right. And since something like that, I know those homeowners would want to have it zoned single family attached. They would want that. I mean, the developer would want that. That'd be a case where we would, you know, where he would obviously want to have his zoning changed.
The other thought that would be good to hear from council, a lot of work went into this. I think James had mentioned 17 months went into this document, hundreds of hours of time spent by the citizens. Do you want to at least put up some kind of, are we like to finish this by the end of the year? There's a lot of work that's going to have to go into this.
Absolutely.
And I know that when we got to the comprehensive plan for the south side, we met on a fairly frequent basis. We've had some mornings. I'm not looking for more meetings, believe me. And I know you're not looking for more meetings. But as Mr. Meadows had mentioned, there's a lot of things that he's been wanting to do with this. People just need to have a clear understanding where we're going with all this. And I hope it doesn't drag on for a long period of time, but that's up to council as to how many meetings you want to have and how often you want to have that to get this done.
Well, I think we ought to move it along as fast as we can. Maybe just throwing something out at least two meetings a month on this subject alone. Unless that's too many, too less, too few, rather. We've got other meetings, and we have other works that we've got a lot on our plate right now. You look at all the things that we're working on. But what do you think?
I'm available. We're going to do it in the morning.
it suits me. I mean, I'm available. We can work with whoever is available. Yes.
Can I make one more comment?
Yeah, certainly.
I just want to ask one question. What would you entertain the thought of using the zoning and the techniques of going through zoning now? It's worked for a long time. Everybody knows how it works and why it works, and it can't be any fair to the people who own property. And you could have this plan, the general plan, and work toward it, but work when the people want it and go through the normal process that we have available to us in this work for so long. Why try to fix something? Why sit here and try to work out some kind of plan? And I understand why, because it has been laid out and it's been a lot of work, and overall it may be beneficial to the city. But by the same token, it may turn out that it's not that beneficial to the city if you get everybody concerned and upset. And at some point, this thing is going to get hectic.
And we don't want it to get hectic, do we?
No.
but the zoning process would still be in effect. We're not talking about changing the zoning process. We're using it, but you're talking about telling. Well, when you say use it, we are using it. We use it just about every meeting we have. Well, not in every meeting, but the process is used. So, are you talking about communicating it better to people?
Use it instead of in this plan. You're calling for.
Right. Yeah, right, we were. Okay, what does council want to do for 5-1? Have we decided what we want to do, at least the next step? To have Roger and staff reword this a little bit differently? Or do you want to consider taking it out?
I want.
Or do you want to consider that next time we meet?
Well, we have to remember that we were told that if we take out 5.1, it affects other areas of the plan. So we really do need to look at it. We need to look at what matches and what effect it would have to pull the whole thing out versus rewording it or reworking it. If there are other areas in here that is affected by this, we need to look at that and see that we don't destroy the entire plan, but maybe fix what we need to fix.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, but
I agree with Beverly that I'm not sure if we pull out the entire 5.1, how we impact the entire integrity of the entire master plan. So, not knowing that, I'm not comfortable saying let's take it out completely without modifying some changes to the wording.
And then we still got the map, so I think we have a lot of work to do.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. Well, if we have this is our plan, you know, if people want to know, hey, what's your view for the future in these areas? Right now, this is it.
That's proposed.
Right? Well, it's a proposed, yeah. This is what's being proposed.
And it's
so,
possible.
So, possible, yeah. Whatever those words are that we want to use. Do we want to take the words out of 5.1 and put those words in 5.1?
My first page.
That says something about what you see, and I don't see anywhere where it's this is. This is referred to. Is it referred to somewhere? Anywhere? This drawing? James, do you remember? Is the drawing referred to in the notes here? Maybe. Sir? This. Drawing. This map.
Where's the reference?
Okay, but should it not be referred to at some point in the plan?
Could be these two are referred to in the plan, the existing and future land. They are referred to in the plan.
Okay.
Develop that map to help explain what the zoning would be.
This map is combined of those two maps.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. But if this is what we've been talking to and looking at, and if this, are we going to throw this away then?
No.
Something needs to be referred to in the wording, does it not?
Your call.
Well, I mean, we say this is important, and both of these documents are important. Don't they need to be referenced?
Well, you do need a map that shows what the current zoning is. And I think that's what one of those maps does.
This shows what it currently is. Too.
Well, that shows where you have color on that map.
Mm-hmm.
It shows where they're talking about where a possible change would be. Where it's white on that map, that's what it's already zoned. What?
Now, wait a minute. Yellow is single family detached, right?
Correct.
But yet it says RML.
It's super. Superimposed on it.
RML is the current zoning.
Yeah. Superimposed on this map. It's we're trying to give you one map so you can look at it at the same time.
Right.
The wording that's on the map, RML, RMH, GB, whatever it is, that's what currently is in that block. You'll see some of the blocks actually have more than one statement in letters there showing what it is. The colored areas are, again, showing what's proposed to be done. The areas that are in white with the letters across it, that means what's there currently is fine. There would be no changes now or in the future.
Okay. White is residential, multi-level, low density, right? Right there.
No.
What is that?
White
stays the same.
It's presently zoned, and that's what it said it should be zoned.
And it's going to stay the same.
That's what I thought I just said. White here is residential, multi.
Right. For that particular block.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm
white over here.
That's what I'm pointing
to. But white over here is downtown business.
Oh, I thought he meant home.
Well, yes, I understand that. That says RML, and it's white.
Yeah, for that particular block.
That's DB downtown.
Let me ask you a question, Roger. If we really soften this and say, we don't even mention rezone, we say the expand, you know, just use the preserve, and then the staff then looks at the area and says, well, you know, which areas are single-family residential anyway? And start there. You got Colleton Avenue. If you go through from York on Colleton all the way down to Marion, most of that area is single family, is residential, I believe. There may be a duplex in there somewhere, but most of that would be single family residential, I think. So if we want to try to get this, maybe we'd be proactive in different sections that are doable. And if everybody in this block says, I want to be single family residential, have a happy day, bring in here and go through the zoning process, and we at least do something with this. But I guarantee you, when you get down here to Williamsburg and Colleton, those people have a slight problem coming in and saying that they want it.
Let me propose my simple solution. I hope it works. 5.1, we've gone to preserve and expand the detached single family character. 5.1, use appended map as the guideline for all future zoning change requests, period. Without A, B, C, D, just get rid of them all and just use the map as the guideline. And when we get the map revised, that'll be the attachment.
Maybe on the third meeting I would agree with that, because I've got some specifics that I think we end up hurting ourselves because of what Mike has brought up about.
No, but I mean the map, whatever, when the map is changed. But for 5.1, that's the way it should read. We don't need all those specifics that get us into trouble and we have to take caveats. Use the map as a guideline for all future rezoning requests. Okay. That still leaves open if you have to do one that's absentee or so on.
And then go in on the map and fix the map like it's reasonable and like we...
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. When the map, when we all agree on the map, that's the map that comes under 5.1, okay. Period. Without all these sort of little instructions of what to do.
Don't you suppose, though, that we have the detailed instructions because you put together so many committees' work, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's That's why, isn't it? Yeah.
But it's the important thing is it's a guideline.
Okay, the next meeting.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You're going to do that, and that will be. That will, we'll see that at the next meeting, Roger. Is that what council wants to do right now? At any rate.
What was that?
Don't ask me to repeat it. Dick, repeat it, please.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that's what you were talking.
Use the appended map as the guideline for all future rezoning requests.
And then we're going to go over the map blow by blow.
And it's not necessarily this map because we've got.
Yeah, I'm sure whatever the map changes,
what he's saying is the map that we finally agree on.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
We got a lot of work.
That's right.
Map.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the map is a guideline. I think it's a good guideline. I think we did a lot of work.
The map has always been the major part of this plan. And that's why we always felt that if you remove 5.1, you still keep the map, or that map's going to look like.
Yeah, but you still have to have a reference with someone.
Well, that was my point when I brought the subject up.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that was out of the rules.
It needs to be referenced here somewhere. Now, the other thing that Roger suggested that council do would be to give our comments on the map, you know, concerning the map. If we think there's an area here, whether it be Lawrence or wherever, that we don't agree, or you don't agree, I don't agree, that the zoning shown should be that zoning. For instance, maybe we want more business along Lawrence that it shows, than it shows, or Park Avenue. Then you want our suggestions,
right? And maybe because I heard one comment. Well, it's going to be awfully hard to look at all these properties. Maybe we could break this down even into quadrants or certain areas, say at the next meeting, let's look at the northwest area. The next meeting, the northeast, the southeast, southwest, and break it into four quadrants. We'll probably meet at least four more times. We could look at the map. Any particular quadrant area that you want to use York Street as the boundary, north, south, and Richland as east, west, or what would you like, Mr. Evans?
We already have it broken up into five sectors.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Okay, we'll have you look at each sector then.
Mm-hmm.
Will they have a map then to show them where the sectors are at? We will send you out a map.
Good.
And tell you which sector to look at first.
Okay.
Could you do me one more favor and put another legend in here? And the legend I'd like to see in here would be the legend for the RML, the GB, the DB, and you know which legend I want, right? Just so a layperson can look at it and know what it is now and what we're trying to change it to, because I think some people did not know what DB was and may not know what the difference between RMH and RML. And so if we can have a legend of what we currently use along with what we are proposing, possible rezones, I think it would make it easier for a layperson to read it.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Yeah.
When's the next meeting?
Yeah. When are we going to meet? Tomorrow? Next day?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Give you enough time? We've got council meeting Monday night.
So when in October do you want to meet? Next week's the last week.
How long do you think it will take you realistically to do the things that we've asked?
We could probably by Thursday or Friday send you out the next quadrant that you'll be looking at, or the next sector.
Okay.
And if you had a week and a half, 2 weeks to look at it.
All right. Two weeks to look at it?
The first full week in October is the week of October 3rd is a Sunday. You have the 4th, 5th. You can meet one of those days there, the 6th, 7th. I do know that on October 5th, I'll be at a Gem Lakes meeting. Or we can meet in the morning. You know,
I can't meet that week at all, but that's just one.
Okay. You know, we were successful meeting in the morning sometimes.
Right.
I don't know.
How about the next week, Jane? 11th, 12th,
13th. That's fine.
Okay, we have a council meeting on the 11th.
When are these design guidelines meetings? We're having one of those.
There's one on the 28th design guideline. And there's one on the 14th.
What time?
6:30 p.m. They'll be downstairs. And they're about an hour and a half sessions that you'd have to be there for that whole session. You don't need to be there both of them, but just both of them will be pretty much the same.
One's October 14th and one's October 28th.
September 20th.
September
28th.
Yes. I want to shoot from 12th. 12th on.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't have my calendar.
The 12th would be a back-to-back meetings if you don't mind.
Morning.
Back-to-back meeting. We'd have one on the 11th at night. And then we have a, which is, that's up to what council wants to do.
I think.
Hey, we can meet with them.
We want to do the 19th.
That's stretching too far out.
Yeah. I think it's going to take some work to get this thing done.
But I don't think a lot of things are going to take as long as 5.1.
Yeah. How about the 13th? What's the 13th like?
That's a Wednesday. You can meet in the morning.
That gives us a day between the city council meeting to recuperate. And
let's meet in the morning.
In the morning?
Morning.
Morning on the 13th. That's a Wednesday 6:30. Morning.
6:30. 6:30.
Sure do.
I'll get to 5 points.
You make coffee.
Why so late, dude?
You want to do 8?
You want to shoot for Wednesday?
Wednesday the 13th, what time?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock works, I guess. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Not for
Beverly. Beverly can't do that. Beverly can't do that.
Well, we may not have a time where we can get everybody there.
I can get the information. I'll
come. Okay. All right. Can you give Roger some information before?
What if we start a little earlier?
7:30.
What time do you have to be at work, Beverly?
Well, I start teaching at 7:30.
Wow.
In Aiken, or are you going to Allen?
No, I'm in Aiken.
Okay.
But I'm going to get with some council members, and we're going to look at this, and I'll try not to make it four of us. So, thank you.
All right. Okay.
And just kind of look at some of the reasonable.
7:30 or 8 on the 13th.
8 o'clock.
Okay. All right.
And we're going to discuss one district at that time. Is that correct?
7.5.
Let's discuss one district as far as the map. We'll start the actual objectives and goals start at 1.
I noticed the first page. Let me just ask a stupid question. The first page is page 16. What's 1 through 15?
1 through 15 was the beginning part of the goals and objectives. Had a number of maps.
Okay,
this was what you got the last time.
Good. I didn't miss 15.
One last thing before you leave. Next Monday night, remember, we're meeting at 5:30 to talk about trash.
What was that date again?
Next Monday, we're meeting at 5:30. We'll have some sandwiches out there, so if you don't have a chance to get home, you can at least have something to eat. But right now, it's scheduled for 5:30.
Okay. One other thing we could do, I think, to get ahead, if maybe others have done this. I started, but I didn't get very far, and that's making comments as we go down the sheet on suggested changes, perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing else. We stand adjourned.